Hello and welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. We're glad you've joined us on this fourth day of June 2015. I'm your teacher, Josh, and I'm excited for our health lesson this week. It's a three-day article about technology and healthcare. Hopefully you have your June magazines in front of you and open to pages 13, 14, and 15. And we talk a lot about technology and its changes in society and in our lives, but I don't think we've talked about how it's impacting healthcare until today. So we have an interesting discussion, and I have three fascinating panelists in the studio with me today, all ladies. I'm a very lucky guy here
you
today.
Are.
I have Amanda and Ellen, two panelists you're familiar with, and a special guest, a brand new teacher here at Studio Classroom, Serena. So I'll start with you, Amanda. Welcome.
Thanks, Josh. It's always good to be on Advanced Radio, and like you said, this is an interesting article, one we haven't done before.
I know. We're going to talk about some things I bet most of our listeners have never experienced.
That's right.
It's something brand new in healthcare, right?
Right. Very new.
And Ellen is here. Hi, Ellen.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Ellen, you're mostly working on the Let's Talk in English magazine.
Right, I am.
So do you enjoy stepping into the advanced class from time to time?
It is probably one of the highlights because I can, you know, remember all the good vocabulary. More advanced vocabulary.
Use multisyllabic words.
Yes, exactly.
And I talked about our new teacher. We want to welcome Serena to the advanced class.
Hi, it's nice to be here.
It's great to have you. Serena is originally from America.
New Jersey.
But you've been living in Asia for quite a while.
Yes, I lived in Korea for almost 8 years.
Wow. Well, welcome to Taipei.
Thank you.
And welcome to Studio Classroom. And we are going to talk today about technology. And Serena, you are not a big techno person,
no,
right?
I don't even have a computer at home, so I prefer text messaging or emailing, definitely.
Okay. And well, we're going to talk about video chat a little bit today, using technologies like Skype and FaceTime. Are you a big video chatter, Ellen?
I definitely like to use it to keep in touch with my family.
Mm-hmm. What are the benefits of video chatting?
Well, you can see them, for one. but two, it's you kind of feel like you're in the room with them, which is nice.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't feel so detached, so it's nice.
How about you, Amanda?
Yeah, I'm the same. I chat with my family through video. The great thing is, like Ellen said, you can see them and they can respond to you through their body language. The downside is sometimes the line isn't so clear and there can be, it can stop.
Mm-hmm. Some buffering.
Yeah.
Or the call can drop.
Drop, yeah. That happens quite often.
Can be frustrating. But it is nice. It does kind of bring people, our friends and family around the world, much closer to you.
Yes.
Feel like sometimes like they're right there. I know when I'm on business trips sometimes, my wife will just prop me up on the kitchen table and I'll be there video chatting with my boys. And sometimes she'll say, okay, I'm going to go to the store now. Can you watch the kids?
Yes. My sister has done that to me. She'll just walk out of the room and be like, you can watch the kids for a while. I'm like, you realize if there's an emergency, I can't actually do anything.
Right. I'm not in the room, but it is nice. Yeah. Serena, I think you should try video chatting.
I will. I will one day.
You just don't like to show your face on
camera? Yeah, I don't. I like to be behind the scenes for the most part.
Mm. Okay, well, our title of our lesson today is called The Doctor is in Your Mobile Device. Tell us about the little wordplay, Ellen.
Sure. When a doctor is working, we often say the doctor is in. And the wordplay is that here we're actually talking about virtually, and the doctor is virtually in your mobile device.
Yes, you're going to visit a doctor without leaving your house. And that's how I open the show. And we have a picture there, top of page 13. And that's the doctor talking to a patient through video chat. His name is Christopher Bailey, and we're going to get to know him in the first part of our lesson. What does our deck say, Amanda?
It says some patients are finding that virtual medical visits are just what the doctor ordered.
So another cute idiom here at the end of this, but talking about virtual medical visits. And we've talked a lot about virtual reality on the Advanced Show, this idea of experiencing things through your computer, right?
Right.
And that means that you're watching it through your screen, through your camera. We've talked about augmented reality, where it adds something physical to the digital experience. But in this case, it's talking to a doctor through your webcam. Serena, is this something that you could envision doing one day?
I don't think I'd be comfortable with it. I think I'd worry more about security and privacy. But it is convenient.
Do you visit a doctor often?
I do. About every 3 months.
Okay.
I do.
And they, you know, the physical doctor visits are kind of a pain, right?
You have to wait. I think that's part of it, the waiting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, here we need to get a number, and you could be waiting for 20 people before you yourself get to see the doctor.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And then the visit could be like 3 seconds.
Yeah.
And you're like, what?
Yeah.
There's all that time.
If it's something for more serious, if the doctor has to diagnose you for something, of course, I think you have to go in. Mm-hmm. But maybe if he has to prescribe you some medicine, I think that would be convenient.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of things that people go to see a doctor for that don't require a physical visit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've got a cold, you've got a upper respiratory infection, things that just can be diagnosed very simply and easily. Right, as opposed to something more serious or an emergency.
Right.
Right.
I wouldn't imagine trying to get Skype to work when, you know, you're bleeding.
You need those hands.
Yeah. Well, why don't we jump into our lesson? As I said, we're on page 13 today, and we're going to divide our lesson up into 3 readings. So let's begin.
The doctor is in. Your mobile device. Some patients are finding that virtual medical visits are just what the doctor ordered. It was 11:45 a.m., and Dr. Christopher Bailey's laptop was chirping, indicating a patient was on the line. Hi, this is Dr. Bailey. Can you hear me? Yes, the female patient said. She'd been violently coughing for days and was losing her voice. Her eye had turned red and she couldn't sleep. Bailey took a peek at the patient's swollen throat as she said, "Ah," to her webcam and had her tap her forehead to determine how much her sinuses hurt before diagnosing her condition, an upper respiratory infection. Bailey prescribed cough medicine and an antibiotic, and he offered some practical advice. Use a neti pot to flush her sinuses. Keep talking to a minimum. Take Tylenol for the aches and pains.
Thank you, Lois. So as we said, we have this interesting technology, virtual medical visits. And I skipped over that idiom, but it is an important one. Being just what the doctor ordered. What does that mean, Ellen?
It means exactly what is wanted or needed. So sometimes, you know, if we are craving something, well, we'll say, okay, you should go buy it because it's just what the doctor ordered.
Right. Maybe you're really in the mood for Mexican food, Amanda. Mm. You just have to have a burrito.
Yes.
And it could be what? Just what the doctor ordered.
Right. It's exactly what you're wanting.
At that time, exactly. So Dr. Christopher Bailey is the first virtual doctor we meet, and he is working from his home in Chicago. And we took this article from the Chicago Tribune, which is why we mentioned Chicago a few times in our lesson. And he is at home, and he gets a call, we say. It's kind of a chirp sound coming from his laptop, right?
Right. So if some of you have used FaceTime or Skype before, you know that if somebody's calling you, you'll hear kind of a ring or a kind of a sound that indicates to you, and for this particular program, it's a chirp.
Chirp is an onomatopoeia, right? A word
yes.
That sounds like the actual sound you hear a bird make.
Right. So chirping is from a bird.
Yeah. And also from a cell phone these days. Hopefully you all have your phones off here in the studio. Well, it indicates to him that a patient was on the line. So he is receiving a call through the app, we're going to find out, this Doctor on Demand app that we'll talk about later in the lesson. And he answers the call. Hi, this is Dr. Bailey. Can you hear me? That's a good way to start the call.
Which is very different to if you walked into the doctor's office. Please sit down.
Yes.
Not, can you hear me?
He doesn't have a receptionist lining up and asking you to fill out a form and take a seat and be coughed on by 20 people.
Right. But I think that it's interesting that they included this because it's indicative of what Amanda said earlier, is when you are on these virtual, you know, devices or apps, you do have this problem of, you know, sound or connection. So it is important that he does ask, can you hear me?
That's right. He wants to make sure they don't have the mute button on,
right?
Or maybe their radio is playing in the background of their computer. So he wants to make sure he has a clear connection.
Exactly.
I'm curious, what if you get multiple calls? How does that work?
Oh, you mean the doctor?
Right, the doctor gets multiple calls.
Sure, probably lines up into some sort of queue, perhaps.
Right, perhaps the software helps with that.
Maybe there is a message that comes on, says, Dr. Bailey is unavailable now. But that perhaps you don't have to see the same doctor every time.
Right.
I didn't sign up for the service, but we will learn there are 1,400 doctors available through the Doctor on Demand service.
Yeah, I'm just thinking it's probably unlikely that you'll get the same doctor again under these circumstances.
Do you like seeing the same doctor every time?
I definitely do. I'm just more comfortable with that personally.
They learn your history.
They know what I need. They know my wants.
Right. Well, this woman, it's a female patient we learn, has been violently coughing for days. That doesn't sound fun. And she's lost her voice. And her eyes have turned red and she's having trouble sleeping. We would say she's listing out the symptoms, right?
Right, she is, yeah, and violently coughing. You know, when you're describing your cough as violent, that's pretty serious.
Have you ever coughed violently?
Definitely. I've experienced bronchitis myself, which is definitely a sickness where you are coughing a lot, losing your voice. So it can be very painful. You can get very sore.
So Dr. Bailey asks the woman to kind of lean into the camera and show her swollen throat. So this is where the camera really comes in and a way for him to evaluate her condition.
Well, I think it's interesting that he took a peek. You know, when we say take a peek at something, we mean to take a look or take a quick look quite a short look. So peek usually is meaning something quite short.
So she opens her mouth and he asks her to say, ah, right, which is what doctors do. But he doesn't have that wooden tongue depressor in her mouth.
Which is nice. Because usually when they do that, I feel a gag coming up.
Right. I always wonder, why do they have to do that? But here it doesn't look like they have to. You might tell the doctor next time, Serena, just say, leave the wooden...
I'll just open my mouth.
Yeah.
That's enough.
Leave the depressor in your pocket. I'm going to show you my throat without it. So she taps her forehead, shows him how much her sinuses hurt, and then he diagnoses her condition. And what's wrong with her?
She has an upper respiratory infection, which is, I'm not completely sure, but I think it's when your lungs are probably inflamed or have an infection.
Yeah, your respiratory system is your breathing, your throat, your esophagus, your lungs. So those, if that's the upper area of it, that's where the infection is, causing her all sorts of pain and discomfort. And Bailey prescribes cough medicine and an antibiotic. And that's the medicine that's going to go in and fight the bad germs in her body. And he also gave her some practical advice. What does practical advice mean?
It means something other than medication, prescribing medication.
Yes, home remedies.
Right. For example, I know here in Taipei, we often are told don't eat spicy food. You know, don't eat fatty food, drink a lot of water. These are all practical things to do.
And she's told to use a neti pot. Have you ever used a neti pot, Serena?
I've never really heard of it, actually.
Yeah, I've heard of it, but I haven't used one myself, but it's supposed to be able to clear up your sinuses,
mm-hmm.
which I've actually used spicy foods for to do sometimes, but you're right. My Chinese friends would say, don't do that.
Wasabi?
Right. Some jalapenos. But he says, use the neti pot, flush out her sinuses, keep talking to a minimum, so hopefully she's not a school teacher, and take Tylenol for the aches and pains.
Now, Tylenol is a pain reliever, like aspirin or ibuprofen.
Right? Right.
So, do you think she would have needed to see a physical doctor for this type of diagnosis?
No, not as long as they can prescribe the medication. For example, they're prescribing antibiotics. Now, I'm assuming then there's a computer record of the prescription going to a local pharmacy?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Doctor on Demand takes care of all that for
okay.
you. Though we will learn in some states you can't get medicine prescribed on the first visit,
mm-hmm.
but it is a full service package mm-hmm. here.
Okay.
So it saved her time, right? Saved her a trip to the doctor. I mean, do you see any downsides from this particular visit, Serena?
I personally would probably want to do a natural remedy.
Oh, okay.
Like, I always use honey and lemon. So
You stay away from antibiotics.
As much as possible.
Yeah, a lot of people do avoid those.
Because mm-hmm.
your body can build an immunity against them.
Right.
And then they become less effective over time.
Right.
But they do play a pretty important role in our health system. So hopefully your interest is piqued. And we'll talk about the pros and cons and how the Doctor on Demand system got started as we continue our lesson. Let's ask Lois to read our second column.
A new way to see the doctor. Patients are bidding adieu to crowded, germy waiting rooms, opting to video chat with a doctor on their phone, tablet or computer within minutes of making the request. About 400,000 patients had appointments with doctors via webcam in 2014, and experts expect that number to double this year. Large employers also have started offering the virtual doctor visits as a benefit to their employees. The growth is driven by the fact that people feel more comfortable with technology than ever before. Experts say, and insurers are starting to pick up the tab. About half of the doctors surveyed by PricewaterhouseCoopers Health Research Institute said more than 10% of patient office visits could be replaced by e-visits. About 37% said one-third of visits could be done virtually. Several companies have popped up to facilitate e-visits between doctors and patients. Bailey, with a specialty in family medicine, works for Chicago-based Doctor on Demand, co-founded by a cancer radiologist and a technology entrepreneur in 2012 and backed by Google.
So the title of this next section says, A New Way to See the Doctor. So we've talked about lots of different idioms related to medicine. We've said the doctor is in, just what the doctor ordered. Now this idea of seeing the doctor, and we use that when we talk about doctor visits.
Right, absolutely. So, for example, if we wanted to go see the doctor, physically see the doctor, we would suggest to somebody, oh, you should see the doctor.
Mm-hmm. See a doctor. See
Which we do doctor. Mean visit the doctor.
Right,
sure.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So physically you're seeing him, but it's also this idea of making an appointment and getting mm-hmm. some medical consultation.
Right,
right.
And this way, we're putting it in quotes because we're changing that experience. You can see him, you're just not physically in his office. And he's in his apartment, we learned, Dr. Bailey, up there in Chicago. But Amanda, you and I both laughed about that picture. What is he doing in a white coat?
I'm asking that question myself because many nowadays, you don't often see doctors in a white coat anymore. They just wear their normal clothes. They still have the stethoscope around their neck, but not the white coat.
Do you think it's psychological?
I think it helps, you know, especially because it is a telemedical, you know, service. I think it kind of just comforts people to see that this person has deserved that white coat and has the white coat.
It's like the qualification.
Right? Yeah, exactly. It's kind of like the degree on the wall a little bit.
There you go. Yeah. Explain that.
Well, often when you go into a doctor's office, when you look around, all you see is these degrees or diplomas on the wall to kind of prove to their patients that they deserve to be the doctor in the room.
Do you pay attention to the schools listed on the diplomas?
Sometimes. Sometimes. There's a doctor here in Taipei where I walked in. I was like, oh, Harvard. And then I looked a little closer, and I was like, oh, it's a certificate program. I was like, okay, fair enough.
Harvard.
He still went to Harvard,
yeah.
Right?
I thought you were going to say it was H-A-R-V-O-R-D.
Oh, no.
Different school. No, well, in this case, it's the doctor in front of his webcam, and then we learn that patients are bidding adieu to crowded, germy waiting rooms. I mentioned this a little bit earlier, being around sick people in a waiting room is uncomfortable. Right, Serena?
Oh, it is. I'm actually germophobic.
You are?
I am.
What does that mean?
I'm very careful about my surroundings in terms of germs and things that are dirty, so I often wipe my counter every day, or if I'm sick, I'll wear a mask.
Do you carry Purell or antibacterial?
Yeah, antibacterial.
In both of your pockets and your purse?
It's just my purse.
You'll get along well.
I'm not that OCD.
Well, it says they're opting to video chat with a doctor on their device. It can be their smartphone, their tablet, or their computer, and it's happening pretty quick, right?
Right, within minutes of making the request, which is so much faster than if you really did visit the doctor.
And a lot of people are starting to get comfortable with this service. 400,000 people last year did this in America, and experts expect that number to double in 2015. And who's paying for these visits?
Well, in the next section, we see the answer to that, which is large employers have started to offer this virtual doctor visit as part of benefits to their employees. Mm. So in the United States, health coverage is often covered by the employer. So that's what they're referring to. It's unlike here in Asia, or specifically here in Taipei, you know, the entire region has health insurance, but in the States, it's much more employer-based.
Or now individuals buying their own coverage. Mm. The new health care mandate in America, which I think we've talked about before in the advanced class, meaning if you don't get it through work, you have to get it through one of these private insurers on this health exchange. And it's really cheap, but you do actually get penalized now in America. $95 if you don't have health insurance.
Oh, wow.
What about New Zealand? Is there a national health system there?
Yeah, we still have public health. It's not as cheap as being here in Taipei, but it is definitely public.
Mm. Well, we have a good idiom to close out this section, right? That idea of picking up the tab, having something paid for. When we talk about a tab, we also refer to that sometimes as a bill, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. So this often refers to, establishments that are willing to kind of give you credit over time, and then you can kind of pay for everything at the end of your visit.
Right, to run a tab
right.
at a place. Have you ever done that?
Yeah, all the time. Especially you can do that in restaurants or bars. Mm-hmm. You do that often. Or in a hotel, you have a tab at your hotel because you'll be staying there for a few days, and perhaps over that time you may still go to the restaurants in the hotel, and so you're actually using their credit.
That's right. Running. Good discussion. Difference between the tab and the bill. So now we'll talk about kind of where this came from. About half of doctors surveyed by the PricewaterhouseCoopers Health Research Institute said that more than 10% of the visits could be replaced by e-visits. So looking at, you know, what's going to be the impetus driving this? That there are lots of visits that could be replaced by e-visits. And this is the first time we've used that e-adjective on something.
Right. Oftentimes when we do something electronically or virtually, we'll add an E to indicate that it is digital. For example, email. So that's electronic email, or electronic mail, rather. So this, you know, again, is an electronic visit.
Mm-hmm. We're also going to talk a little bit later in the article about telehealth or telemedicine. We'll talk about that prefix a little bit.
Well, tele, you will see obviously in the word telephone, which is a kind of a distance type deal.
Mm-hmm.
So when we add that prefix, it usually refers to more of a distance.
Mm-hmm. Communication.
Right.
Across a distance.
Mm-hmm.
So how are we communicating with our healthcare providers in a unique way? And 37% said one-third of visits could be done virtually. So doctors, almost over a third of them agree that a third of them could be replaced by this virtual visit. And several companies want to facilitate this technology. It says several companies have popped up, Amanda.
Right. To pop up means to just appear suddenly.
Mm-hmm. So they've taken advantage of the increased use of video chatting, except in Serena's house, and, you know, the ability to connect with people very quickly and easily. And they've seen an opportunity, right?
Right.
Businesses and entrepreneurs saying, hey, wait a minute, I can improve this, right? I can get people out of these waiting rooms where there's lots of germs and making them drive to their doctors and have to wait a long time. And the person that created this was actually a Chicago-based doctor. It's not Bailey. It's going to be a man we'll talk about in our next lesson. But he was the creator of the Doctor On Demand app. And if you jump on the internet, there is a pretty cool video on the Doctor On Demand website that explains how the service works. And his name is Pat Basu, and he was a radiologist and entrepreneur who got some help from Google. That's not a bad company to partner with.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, we know Google as the leading search engine,
mm-hmm.
but you know, in advance, we've learned that they have kind of dipped their toes in many areas of society, and now they're doing kind of telemedicine.
They have a cool slogan. Their tagline is, a better way to get better. I think that was pretty good branding. Hopefully you'll join us tomorrow as we continue our discussion on telehealth and connecting through doctors via technology. Until then, goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye.